Olchek got to it. Olchek busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He scores! Olchek! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fiore on the sixth side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olchek. Don't do what Cap's doing right now, but kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Hawk.
Olchek!
Kevin Hall rolls on a Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. The NHL draft has come and gone. Number of Chicago hockey players who were probably campers of the great Eddie Olchek at one point. Certainly were kids that wanted to grow up to be him. Chosen. Hawks grab one from the Chicago Steel. They get another kid from Geneva. And there were others that were taken. Eddie joins us now. Good morning, Edzo. Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for the time. How are you, buddy?
Morning, Eddie.
Hey, Capper. Hey, David. I guess full disclosure here, Capper. Most of these kids that get drafted now into the NHL have no idea that I played in the National Hockey League.
No way.
They all think I'm just a broadcaster and a guy that does EA Sports with Doc Emmerich. That's it. I'm telling you right now. That stage is long gone. Maybe 10 years ago, but... Yeah, it's you mentioned it, Cap, and I mean it's great. I know the Gilbert boy from playing with my son Nick with the Chicago Steel this year. A good puck moving defenseman, kid that can play the point on the power play. I mean, look, he's a ways away from pro hockey, but kid that played his junior hockey here, and then the Radke kid I don't know, but I've heard a lot about and. It's great to see homegrown kids getting the opportunity and the privilege to be drafted in the National Hockey League, and that's something that hopefully the state takes notice of, and more kids that get the opportunity. It's great for everybody. It opens up the eyes of the important people of the National Hockey League is that, hey, Chicago kids can be drafted and can play at the next level. And hopefully it opens up a few more doors for those hockey players in the greatest city in the world.
It's a great capper to the weekend, Eddie, that Scott Darling, one of those kids a local kid, is celebrating today, has a cup in Lamont. Will you be part of that? And doesn't that speak to just how big hockey has become? You see it in the draft, and then Scott Darling's a representative of the local kids who went and then did something special.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, David, when I was on with you guys in studio last week, I mean, for Scott Darling, a Chicago kid, born and bred, played all his youth hockey here, and then to be that first Chicago native to play for his hometown team and have his name on the Stanley Cup is something that other young Chicago-born kids will try to emulate and want to be like Scott Darling. And it's great to see. And, the trophy, the Stanley Cup, has been making its rounds around the city and the state, and it's going to get an opportunity to be with Scott Darling and his family on the south side here in a couple of hours.
Talking to the great Eddie Olchek here on Cap and Haw on WGN Plus and Comcast Sports. Edzo, let's talk about the weekend. The Hawks make one small deal. Antti Raanta is gone, but everybody else is still in place as of right now. Surprise you or no?
No. You guys, you asked me that when I was in last week, and, it's tough. It's tough to make deals. At this time of year, and... you may have an asking. You may want to sell your house for a certain number, but everybody knows that at a certain time you're going to have to lower that price because you got to be out of there at a certain time, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, look what happened with Nick Leddy last year. When the Blackhawks gave him away at the end of the year and it opened up cap space. And, look, I say that in all due respect when I say gave him away. I mean, when you give a player away, it opens up cap space. You look at what's happened around the National Hockey League on the weekend, Capper, where teams have moved salaries out. I mean, Chris Pronger hasn't played in the National Hockey League in, 4 years, 5 years maybe? And, the Flyers traded his contract away to open up some cap space because Arizona needed to get to the floor. So, you know, I'm not surprised. It's tough to make a deal, and especially when teams know you have to rid yourself of some contract and open up cap space. So, you know, that's what Stan gets the big bucks for, and we'll see what happens here moving forward. Now, whether that's this week or once you get into free agency, you know, nobody knows, but I'm not really surprised that nothing really happened besides the Ronta deal.
Eddie, there were some other teams that were pretty active, and I just wondered, number one, what you thought about any of the teams that made some bold moves that got better, and number two, how any of the moves that might have been made over the weekend by other teams affected the market for a Patrick Sharp.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, I guess just maybe off the top of my head, David, you know, what Boston did, I mean, they moved out two young.
And they took three draft picks in a row. I thought they were going to deal one of those.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I thought what Boston did with moving Lucic out to L.A., you know, L.A. got smaller. You know, with getting Lucic. You know, Hamilton going to Calgary, that's really improved Calgary a lot. I mean, I don't know if Dougie Hamilton's a top two guy, but I think he certainly can be in a top four and going to give him a little versatility there. I mean, not, you know, I don't, not really, you know, to maybe impact what possibly what options Stan might have with moving, you know, a salary out or, you know, whoever that player may be, whether it is Sharp or Bickle or, you know, lots of things, you know, lots of things happen here over the course of time. And again, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with contractual negotiations with, you know, with Kruger and with Saad, two restricted free agents. So tough to answer that. But I was really kind of interested in what, you know, in what Boston did, and, you know, and Edmonton did a lot of moving and baking and shaking. So we'll see how that plays out. They only can go upward, considering how it's been for them over the course of the last couple of years.
The only bit of roster news we did get over the weekend was when Joel Quenneville acknowledged to reporters down at the draft that Teuvo Teravainen is going to get a first look at center, which I think was interpreted as, okay, maybe that means Brad Richards won't come back. I don't know if I would read that far into it. Maybe you would. I think it's maybe more related to Antoine Vermette maybe moving on more than anything. But number one, how did you view those comments? And number two, is that the right direction, in the inevitable direction that Teuvo's headed?
Well, I don't think there's really any way Vermette's coming back, David. I mean, he's going to get a big contract, and the Hawks, you know, look, they're you know, they need to rid themselves of money right now, and they're really not in a position to sign a, you know, a $5 million player, because I think that's what probably Vermette's going to get on an open market. You know, look, the way that Teravainen played, you know, and he's been a centerman at every level, is that I think he's earned that look, and I think with the Blackhawks, being in that situation of you know, contractual with the salary cap, you're going to look for guys to come in and guys that, you know, that can play at a high level and aren't making a lot of money. That's an important part of it. You're right. I would not read into anything saying that, you know, this means that or whatever. And but, you know, I think for Teravainen, in order to play the center ice position, he's got to get bigger. He's got to get stronger. He's got to be able to play that 200-foot game at this level. He's done it before at other levels, but time will tell. But I don't think there's any question that, you know, he will be a center iceman for this team at some point moving forward.
Hey, I saw James Wisniewski get traded over the weekend. Had no idea he made the amount of money that he made, $5.5 million hit. And they're able to move him. And is he that coveted a guy to be able to move that type of salary? And I know they sent $2.25 million back.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's all, you know, it's all finances, Capper. It's, you know, when teams are moving and you know, trying to open up some space, you have to, you know, sometimes you have to absorb that. And, you know, look, I mean, Wisniewski never, I mean, he played, I think he maybe played a couple of games for Anaheim after he got traded from the deadline there. Maybe. I don't think he played. I mean, he didn't play at all in the last couple of series in the conference final in Anaheim. So, you know, I mean, he's a serviceable guy. He got the big contract in Columbus. Blackhawk fans know him extremely well, and he's going to bring some experience to a young defense in Carolina. I think that's exactly what they were trying to get accomplished, and they were able to do that. So, you know, a lot of it is about moving money in, moving money out, and opening up and creating some opportunities for yourself.
Eddie, before we let you go, just to underscore it, because I got a few emails over the weekend and a few tweets to this regard. Sure. The Hawks do not have to get under the salary cap until opening night. They have until October. That said, I mean, if you remember, Nick Leddy wasn't dealt until 2 days, I think, before the season opener last year.
Once that roster is in, I think there's a date a couple of days before the start of the regular season, David. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like opening night. So the Hawks open up on the 7th this year, I believe. So I think it's got to be by, you know, like 48 hours before, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but it's got to be, you know, yeah. So they got time for sure. But like I said earlier, it's what it is, and you have to understand, you know, the timetables and what you, you know, and how you handle the finances of it.
Edzo, appreciate the knowledge, buddy.
Okay, guys, have a wonderful day.
Hey, Eddie, one thing, somebody tweeted at me, if they have a child that wants to go to one of your camps, are they already full?
Two things. One, it's the Blackhawks Youth Hockey Camp. I just happen to be one of the guys that laces up the skates and blows the whistle every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And if you'd ask some of our former skaters, they'd probably say I blow it a little bit too much, but hey, that's the way that it goes. I believe that they're all sold out for this year, Capper, but it would not hurt to call the Blackhawks Youth Hockey Department at the United Center and speak with somebody there to see if somebody's dropped off. But you probably would want to go through the Blackhawks on that.
Okay, Eddie, one more. Are you part of EA Sports NHL 16?
Absolutely, positively. It's in the can, and hopefully people will enjoy the analysis. And I know in this area they're going to like the cover. I know that for sure.
Taves and Kane, that was very cool.
That's great, because I know there are a lot of 17- and 18-year-old hockey players that they're looking forward to seeing that guy in the EA Sports.
Yeah, tremendously tremendous.
That's right, yeah. Forget that guy that played in the Olympics and the guy that played 16 years in the NHL. That broadcaster guy that works with the great Pat Foley and Doc Emmerich, and a guy that does horse racing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he does video games,
yeah,
too, by the way.
The guy from the Derby. And next time you're in, no more stories about the Olympics. No more stories about the Rangers. Tell us about what it's like working with Doc and doing that video game.
Next time you come in, I want to hear what it's like, the whole process to do this thing.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Have a great one, Eddie.
Edzo, you're the best.
Take care.
Thanks.
All right, guys. See you. Bye.
See you. Bye. There he is, the great Eddie Olczyk from CSN, WGN.
And EA Sports.
Mikey just said, does that take like a day, a week?
No.
Hundreds of hours.
Yeah. It's a really exhaustive process. He talked about it last year, the first time he was
crazy.
Doing it. Yeah, I think that there's a lot more into it than people realize.
Hey, Wintrust loves a good rivalry. Who doesn't? I know I do. Here in Chicago, we've got one of the best. Cubs versus Sox. Northside versus Southside. Blue versus Black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago, and decide for your side with the Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with the very own Cubs or Sox debit card so you can show your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. How cool is that? Plus, you can cheer for your team by tweeting or Instagramming with hashtag DecideCubs or hashtag DecideSox. When you choose either online or in the bank, you'll help Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online, see whose fans are cheering the loudest, and learn more at wintrust.com/youdecide. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks, Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox trademarks used with permission. Member FDIC. There's the debit card. It's very cool right
cool.
there.
Very cool.
You want one that says Sox or Cubs? Sox, Cubs. All right, take a time.
And I'm going to come back and tell you why I'm very, very, very disappointed in you.
In me?
Yeah.
What'd I do?
Just a missed opportunity for the show. Very disappointed. We'll tell you when we get back.
Wow, that's a tease, because I know who I tried to book on Saturday. Take a time out. Be right back. Welcome back. Cap'n Haw, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN. Plus, so.
All right, so.
You going to break? You said you're very disappointed in me.
Disappointed.
What'd I do?
I mean, you took a couple days off. I'm glad you refreshed and everything, but I think you let a little something slip by, and I guess I did too to some degree. You know who's in the building? Right now.
Lady Gaga.
No, she's not in the building.
Donald Trump.
Her. Donald Trump is in the building on the fourth floor.
Yeah.
Why isn't he across from us right now? Cap versus Trump. America needs to see that.
That would have been awesome.
Cap interviews Trump, the Donald. The Cap Man and the Donald. Boy, I would just sit back and watch black and white. Boom, clash.
That would have been awesome. I'd put that guy on in a second.
He'd be a good guest.
He'd be great.
But he's not here because he's a good guest. He's here because he wants to be a good president.
I actually wouldn't.
Stop right there.
Wouldn't be all opposed to that.
Oh, really?
My guy's getting, getting in the race tomorrow.
Have you seen the way he started? Did you see the way he started his little campaign?
Yeah.
Okay. He would be a fascinating guest, but we don't have a dump button that works, so we might not want to have him here.
My candidate's getting in the race tomorrow.
Is he really? Are we going to turn this program into that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chris Christie. You know, he plays third base, and I guess really, really well in like softball. Like, he's a really elite third baseman. They said he's exceptionally nimble for a big fat
guy. Got a little Sandoval in him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kung Fu Christie is really good.
Imagine. Yeah. Does he – he's a good hitter? Power hitter?
I don't know. I just heard he's really good fielding.
Definitely from the swings from the right side.
By the way, I went to see Lady Gaga on Saturday night.
Yes, you did.
Tony Bennett.
Yeah. Did you book her?
I tried.
How about Taylor Kinney?
Didn't try.
Her handsome fiancé.
Yeah. I tried to get Gaga.
I still am waiting for that Chicago Fire – you know, break, our big break on Chicago Fire. There's got to be something in there for a talk show. There's got to be some sort of, you know, diversion from the script where they could have, you know, someone did something like to get on a sports talk show.
Yeah, how about they're watching us?
Something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I love that show. It's great. It's great for Chicago. It's really well done.
And they're listening on WGN Plus on the fire truck with Bluetooth. Wouldn't that be great?
They take a wrong turn because you said something outrageous
that
distracted the driver.
Damn it, we had to turn left there.
See, something like that. Anyway, yeah, the Donald is on the fourth floor, just wrapped up a meeting with the Chicago Tribune editorial board. And
that
I'm
would be headed up by Bruce Dold.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they have to write and say about it because we got some really, really gifted writers on the editorial board.
Bruce's a good man. Bruce Dold. He's been a guest on Chicago Tribune Live.
No.
Yes.
Really?
He was a panelist.
Back in the day?
Back in the day.
When you dipped into the newsroom and not just the sports department?
Correct.
I don't remember that. He's a big Notre Dame guy.
Some of the cocky sports writers had to be put in their place, and we moved over to the news side of things.
We have a few cocky sports writers.
Horwitz and Associates are Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They got the largest verdict in Illinois history for a back injury, a brain injury, and a neck injury. Simply put, these guys win. Horwitz, and Associates. 312-235-2525. John is in Pekin, Illinois. And if this call goes the way I think it's going to go, I promise you I will hang up on him.
Hi, John.
Hi. No, I'm not going to be rubbing you guys in the face because I am a Cardinal fan.
Ugh, okay, great. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying the Cardinals are a team, more of a team than what the Cubs are. I mean, if you look, every night is someone different for the Cardinals.
I just think,
well, John, exactly. But they're the baseball Blackhawks. Okay, they got everybody stepping up all the time. They are the baseball Blackhawks.
I think you guys hacked into our computers and you got all the information on what pitches our guys were going to throw.
No.
You're a bunch of dirty cheaters down there.
No. But like the Cubs, though, it's either if Bryant and Rizzo goes, that's how you guys go.
Well, right now. But I think
the Cubs
are going to be good in time. I don't know if they're going to be.
Well, yeah, they're going to be good in a couple of years. But you definitely got to work on your bullpen and starting pitching.
Okay, John.
Thanks, John.
Hey, John, have a good day. Uh-huh. Don't be hacking any computers today.
Come on.
What? I'm telling the truth.
There's nothing been proven yet. It's an investigation that's ongoing.
Really? Because their owner came out and acknowledged it.
What did he say?
It was some rogue employees.
Well, yeah. Are they still employed? But it didn't reach the front office level. Right? Did it? I mean, didn't read the executive level.
Maybe Bill DeWitt had maybe he was over there having a couple cold ones with those guys one night, and let's hack in.
We'll
that.
See. I don't know if John called for any other reason but to gloat.
He gloated.
It wasn't really a point or a question.
He gloated.
You are the Cardinals, and you are on top of the world, and you are at 50 wins quicker than any team since the 2005 White Sox.
Saturday morning, I'm in the car, 6:30.
So make room for Stevie Perry.
I'm in the car, 6:30, driving to the golf course to continue this tournament I'm in.
But this golf tournament sounds grueling.
It was awesome.
It sounds grueling.
It was awesome.
You were up at 6:30, and you had rain going sideways, and you walked. You didn't take a cart.
Correct.
I don't know how you endured this sort of hardship.
You're unbelievable. And Coach McDougal called. He's 90.
Oh,
it's my second father. He is. He calls. He's a Cardinal fan. He hates the Cubs. You guys should have won last night. You're a better team last night. You had every chance to win. You just didn't know how to put us away. That's exactly what it was. Didn't know how to close it out.
That was Friday night. And that, to some degree, is going to be the story of this season for the Cubs. They're a young team learning how to win. They don't really have that down yet. I do think that this is probably good for them to figure out a way out of this. I think Joe Maddon not trying to sugarcoat it is going to be good for them. He's acknowledging the fact they're young and experienced, and they don't have the institutional knowledge.
Not quite there yet.
To get past pitchers who know how to get them out. They are being schooled. I like that. The education of the Cubs continues. And, you know, now they move on. Where do they? They go to New York against the
Tomorrow,
Mets.
The Mets.
They get to look at their six-man rotation. How about that?
How about Steven Matz yesterday?
Oh, what a
– 3 for 3, 4 RBI, 7 2/3
the miracle
of the Mets win.
The miracle
Matz.
You see
his family all celebrating.
Yeah, great.
His grandfather was going nuts. They're all wearing 32 Matz jerseys.
There's a team now that did the sort of the opposite of the Cubs. They are building with
pitching,
young pitching. They're trying to go at it that route, and they have some other holes on their team, but they figure they can buy, you know, hitting and defense and those things. In a couple years, Cubs and Mets could be interesting again.
No, and the Astros.
Well, the Astros are in the American League, though, so
right.
You don't really look at – I know that definitely the Astros and Twins. The Twins could be good again, too, mm-hmm. which is scary for the White Sox. But when you look at the National League and you look at the teams that have the young talent base, now that it could be scary going at it, Cubs-Mets rivalry could be rekindled. Wouldn't that be fun to have those two teams every year?
The cream of the National League.
Yeah, in the postseason. Fearing one another, making moves to counter one another.
Cardinals.
Yeah, they're always going to be there, too.
All right, 312-235-2525. Blue LePage to it of about 1140.
1140. Still yeah. 1120-25. We'll get ahead of ourselves here.
No, I want to tease it, though. It's called
right, we'll
tease
it.
In
yeah.
the business.
Yeah, we'll do page
11,
two.
1140.
Yep.
We'll have page two for you. Come right back. Kevin Hall, 312-235-2525.
It's Kevin Hall.
It's not an easy decision. In a lot of ways, I'm old school, and I'm very, very much dissatisfied with the record and not pleased at all with that. And I think that goes hand in hand with being a manager. So it's been a difficult thing to swallow, but I have thought about it for some time.
Tough one to stand on to with the record, with changes, to see if I'm the guy going forward or not. But those two things combined, I felt the sooner the better as far as doing what I'm doing today.
Rhino out as the Phillies manager. He is stepping down, said it was very difficult to go through. Ryan Sandberg resigned, and he is done, probably will not manage again.
I doubt it. I don't think so. So tell me this, Cap. Is it terribly unfair?
By the way, Cap and Hall brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers.
When I heard the news on Friday afternoon, I believe it was after the show, I immediately thought of June 1994. That I can't apologize for – that was my initial thought. I thought immediately – what are you laughing at? My initial thought?
No.
You laughing at something else.
The picture you told me to check out popped up on my screen. We'll
okay.
get to that.
So I hear the news on Friday afternoon, and I think Rhino walking away from a baseball team in the middle of June or the end of June. Unfair reaction, an unfair connection. The thought that, boy, he's done this before. He walked away from the Cubs.
Completely unfair. Because when
not completely unfair.
Yes, because the stuff he was going through with his marriage first time.
Stop it.
Totally
a lot of guys go through a lot of stuff. A lot of guys go through a lot of stuff we're never privy to. Never privy to. Rhino walked away from $16 million in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
On June 13th, with a lot of baseball left to play, with a lot of people counting on him to play that baseball. I know the writing was on the wall for Ryan Sandberg. Do you think it's less on the wall for Robin Ventura? Think Robin Ventura looks at the wall and there's nothing written there? Are you kidding me? It says, you will be fired. You will not be here in 2016. Okay? Robin Ventura could very happily walk away.
Take his money and
retreat to California and say, you know what? I just did a Cutler there.
Whatever.
You know what? I'm out of here. He's not doing that. As much as I believe the White Sox probably should do something to rectify this managerial situation, I respect the fact that Robin Ventura is not walking away from it.
Whatever.
I don't know that I had the same reaction from Ryan Sandberg. I grew up, look, full disclosure, back in the day when I was a fan, back in the day when I was growing up, Ryan Sandberg was my favorite player.
Did you have surgery to remove that part of you?
Yes, right
fandom?
There. Lobotomy. No. Ryan Sandberg was my favorite Cub of all time. I loved Rhino. I was a teenager when he hit. had the MVP game in that season.
Baby Ruth?
Yeah.
I was there.
I loved that. I tried to mimic him when I was a shortstop and the way that he threw I tried to do his batting stance and all that stuff. It's not about Ryan Sandberg, but I had that reaction on Friday, like, man, I don't know a lot of guys that would do that once, let alone twice. Seems like he's walking away. Does that bother you in any level?
No.
Separate your fandom from it.
Does not.
Okay.
I don't think he's a great manager. I never thought he would be a great manager. They got a bad team. Change is coming. New team president. They're going to start moving guys out of there quickly.
Imagine if the Cubs had hired him.
That was never going to happen.
Oh, stop it. It wasn't a crazy suggestion.
He had zero chance ever at that job, ever.
Was it because there were questions of whether or not he could stomach it?
Hendry was not a fan. Liked him as a guy, gave him a minor league chance. Was never. Mike would have been the manager before Rhino.
But his candidacy was a thing. It was
a media-driven creation.
Okay.
He had no chance at the job.
You've never been part of one of those.
Never. Never had a chance at the job. And Theo and Jed, the day they took over, said, you must have major league experience as a coach, which he had none of, so he wasn't even a candidate.
I wonder if he could have gotten through it. Because think of all the losing that went on between 2011 and 2014. This guy had one full season as a manager at the major league level, 2014. Came on late in 2013, right? Or midway through, whenever it was. Got the job, managed 2014, 2015, he quits June 27th. June 6th.
Sixth.
Still, June. I don't know. It doesn't really sit that well. Is that, you don't have a big problem with that?
No.
You can't get out of your Cubdom to have an objective thought.
I was not excited about him as a major league manager, and that isn't a shot at him.
You don't think he will manage again? I don't either.
Do not.
But what will it affect? Will any executive look at it and think, oh, geez, he walked away from his team in June, so that's one of the reasons I'm probably not going to hire him?
No.
You just think it's because he didn't have any success. He had a bad team.
He had no chance of winning there.
What do you do now if you're Rhino?
Count your money, enjoy life.
Ambassador, Cubs ambassador.
Cubs ambassador.
He comes back, welcome him back to the fold.
Mm-hmm.
Open arms, happy cappy.
Maybe he and
Rhino.
Tibbs go work out together. Rhino's in pretty good shape. He could put Tibbs through some workouts.
He looked like he's aged.
Tibbs was eating over at Gibson's the other day.
Yeah, I saw that with a Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler back in town, eating with Thibs.
Jimmy, go to work in L.A. I'll be coming. I mean, that's like where it's headed.
I think that's the Thibs part. Oh, Thibs. Well, I don't know that either. Speaking of media-driven creations, I don't know if he's going anywhere. Jimmy Butler's not going anywhere.
There was one report over the weekend that Jimmy Butler wants to sign a one-year deal in L.A.
Saw that. But a one-year deal in L.A., the Bulls are going to match.
Mm-hmm. And then he's a free agent next summer, unrestricted. Bye-bye.
That's, again, betting on himself for another season. I don't know. We'll see where this is headed. We didn't get a whole lot of clarity from the Bulls have remained extremely confident that they're going to be able to sign
him. If it was your
kid,
Blair.
By the way, I'm glad you just have dismissed the whole Ryan Sandberg idea. That's good. That you have no problem with Rhino walking away from his team in June. That's good. For the second time in 20 years. That's not a pattern or anything. That's okay, though. We love you, Rhino, because of 1984. You're forever our hero.
Meh.
Hall of Famer. You called out Sammy at the speech. We love you. Do whatever you want. For whoever you want. But anyway, let's get back to Jimmy Butler. Just dismiss my thought. Thank you very much. That's okay.
Look, they're going to blow that thing up.
John Lester's going to be just fine, too.
He is.
By the way, no worries at all.
And in fact, when I read your column, was that Friday's column?
Yeah.
I read that in the golf shop, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, come on, Haw. Really? And then I just set it down and went and played golf.
At least I called it. I said on the air on Friday that if you were here, you'd say, oh, no big deal. Let's move on to something else.
He's fine.
He's not been fine. I don't know what you're watching, but he's not been fine. He's one big, balled up, tightly wound pitcher right now that cannot throw accurately with command because he's so tightly wound. He's loosening up, man.
Wound.
He's not tightly wound?
No, I'm saying that's not why he's not throwing well.
Cap, he's so tightly wound, he can't find anything.
Wait a minute.
In
this
front
is
of him.
A guy who's pitched in multiple World Series games.
I know it. That's the mystery.
We need to just relax.
Well, you tell him that.
He'll be fine.
You think John Lester's relaxed right now?
Yes.
You need to,
I think he's salivating to get to his next opportunity.
Salivating?
Yes.
I think he's looking forward to the next opportunity, but I do think that...
Does he start tomorrow?
When a guy reacts the way that he did to getting squeezed behind the plate and to walking two batters in each of the first two innings, it reveals a guy that is putting too much pressure on himself.
He pitched tomorrow?
He pitches next against a matchup against Bartolo Colon on Wednesday, I believe.
Wednesday.
Yeah. And... when you see him react the way he did, Cap, yelling at himself, that to me suggests a guy who's pretty tightly wound. I don't know what you're looking at. John Lester's intense.
I didn't say he's not intense, but I think
he's trying too hard.
When he's out there, he's all, uh-oh.
He's saying it himself. His post-game comments where he's trying too hard. He's trying to be too perfect, the perfect pitch. When you're trying to make the perfect pitch, when you're trying to make the perfect putt to appeal to your golf adversity, when you're trying to put together the perfect show, you will say anything to make sure that you get every word out correctly and you won't sound very good doing it. And so when he's pitching, he's not letting it go. He's too tight.
Don't ever permit the pressure to exceed the pleasure.
He's letting it happen, Joe. Sorry. Right now, John Lester's pressure is exceeding his pleasure. And Cubs fans... nice and cool, man. It's cool. That's all right. We're chill. It's fine. It's gonna be okay because John Lester, he's done it before. He's going to do it again. No problem, man. Cool out, Haw. Hater. Come on, man. That's what I'm getting from you Cub fans.
Haw, you hater.
Yes.
Van Wagner.
There you go. That too.
Can't wait for that column in about a month when Lester's reeled off
and
like
I'll write
five
it.
In a row.
I will write it, but you know what?
Those of us who thought he was a little tight, we need to relax.
That's okay. In a month from now, on July 29th, when the Bears open camp, if John Lester is the John Lester we all expected, I'll gladly write that column because that will be the valid opinion of the day. But the valid opinion on Friday or Thursday at Wrigley Field was, I'll look at that picture, see reason for concern. I did. Maybe no one else does, but that's okay.
Too soon.
We're halfway through the season. We're halfway through the season. And everyone can say that. Okay, it's okay. And he can still turn it around. He was 4-6 last year, and he finished strong. Well, sort of strong. Not so much in the playoff game.
He had a 7-3 lead in the seventh.
What happened to that 7-3 lead?
It dissipated.
And what was his role in it?
He was front and center.
I'm just saying. I would not use that as the example of him finishing strong. He finished the regular season strong. I like John Lester. I like what he brings to the Cubs. I was in favor of that signing. I'm just saying, 4-6.
Maybe Rhino can work with him. He's got time.
Yeah, it'd be a good 45-minute session that they booked for an hour for.
4th of July. That was a good one. 4th of July, fast approaching. MyPillow has a Made in the USA offer for the Cap and Hall audience. 2-for-1 MyPillows all week long. MyPillow guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow that you will ever own. Right now, 2-for-1. Take advantage. First night you sleep on a MyPillow, you'll understand why they've sold over 5 million of these beauties. They have 4 support levels, conforming to your preferred shape. MyPillow even has a built-in cooling effect, keeping your head cool throughout the night. Perfect for summer sleeping. MyPillow is a 10-year will-not-go-flat warranty. They'll even let you sleep on it for 60 nights. And if it's not the very best you ever own, they'll refund 100% of your purchase price. That's how confident MyPillow is in their product. Right now, 2-for-1 MyPillows. Use promo code CAP, K-A-P, at MyPillow.com or call 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. That's 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com, promo code's K-A-P. 2-for-1 this week only. 312-235-2525. We've got some callers that want to chat baseball with us, plus page 2. It's all coming up.
We're desperate for stories, and this one is so compelling.
This is page 2.
Kevin Hall brought to you by Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They got the largest verdict in Illinois history for a back injury, a brain injury, and a neck injury. These guys win. 312-235-2525.
Yeah, so page 2 time, and start with a little Bulls news that has been overlooked that happened during our show. Kirk Heinrich, I guess it'd be overstating it to say Bulls fans were on the edge of their seats waiting for this news, but he's coming back. He's coming back, and he will be...
Do you blame him? $2.75 million.
Not at all, but I think that there was some maybe question whether or not he wanted to come back, whether or not he was done playing. His body has broken down a couple seasons now. I mean, he's near the end. And so you know he's valued by management. You know that he's likely valued by Fred Hoiberg. He wasn't a teammate of Fred Hoiberg's, was he? He hasn't been there that long,
no.
Has he? All right.
No.
Seemed like it, maybe. They still don't have a backup point guard, Cap. Doesn't look like Aaron Brooks will return. Free agency begins in a couple days. Remember last year at this time, we were all at Twitter over the Carmelo Anthony sweepstakes. Bulls are not going to be active this year, but they do need to find a backup point guard the way they have in the past. It won't be for Kirk Heinrich, but
Rodney
he will.
Rodney Stuckey?
Maybe. You hear that name around a little bit. But Kirk Heinrich is still going to be a Bull, so you haven't gotten rid of him yet, Bulls fans.
David Price wasn't supposed to be and had thrown only 99 pitches. Huh? The mound remained vacant as the rest of the Tigers went about their pre-inning warm-ups heading into the seventh. After about a minute, manager Brad Ausmus signaled for reliever Alex Wilson as Price was nowhere to be found. Ausmus on what happened. There was a miscommunication as to whether he was going back out for the seventh. I thought he was. He thought he was done. That was the miscommunication. Price on what happened. I did. I was up here in the clubhouse doing arm exercises. Justin Verlander ran up the tunnel and said, "Hey, you're still in the game." I said, "No, I'm not. I have zero uniform on right now." It was a miscommunication on everybody's part. I'll take the blame for it. That's fine with me. It was a miscommunication. It's never happened before, but you can put it on me. I am fine with it.
Wow. That's something else.
So he stripped down to his skivvies.
Yeah.
"Hey, dude, you're still pitching."
How does that happen?
No, I'm not.
Is that on the manager?
It's just a miscommunication.
Well, but miscommunications have, you know, people who are responsible. Who would you, if you were doing Detroit talk radio, and you were saying, oh, whose fault is that? You ripping the player? It's kind of funny.
It's funny.
Yeah.
And they ended up winning, but yeah. I would say.
Well, they won, so that's good.
Right. I would probably say, guys, got to make sure we're on the same page here.
Right. It's so, funny.
Pretty funny.
I wonder how often that happens if we don't hear about it.
Strip down David Price.
Back to the NBA. We talked on Friday, Cap, when you weren't here. The Cliff Alexander had been up and down and up and down, and there was a question after he did not go get drafted on Thursday night where he would land. Ends up signing with the Brooklyn Nets. So gets an opportunity with Brooklyn. It has a lot of moving parts on their roster. You think that he may be able to get an opportunity to contribute somehow. You think that he may get a chance. He's going to play for the Nets in the summer league. The hope is that, you know, he takes advantage of this, stays out of trouble, rehabilitates his reputation, and does the things that he did as a high school player and at times at Kansas that made him, you know, stand out and made people believe that he had a future as an NBA forward. Because when he's locked in, as we, you know, when they came out of Chicago,
he was an amazing talent.
Alongside, you know, Jahlil Okafor, who, by the way, had an interesting weekend in Philly. I'm not sure if he has smiled yet, but did you see where he dropped his jersey at the press conference? But the first reports of it were that he dropped his jersey and it sort of dropped all the way to the ground. Like, oh, he just let it fall to the ground. This guy doesn't care. He doesn't want to be here. Desecrate the jersey like that. And then somebody backed up and they looked like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. The angle, it was just a table.
Correct. He dropped it on a table.
Yeah, so it was no big deal. So Jahlil Okafor is in Philly, and with Cliff Alexander at the Nets, if he makes the Nets, interesting Eastern Conference battles.
See a lot of each other.
Chicago versus Chicago.
Changes coming to the Home Run Derby this year. First of all, there are 8 players in a single elimination head-to-head bracket, which is a departure from the AL-NL team format. Players will be seeded based on regular season home runs through July 7. This doesn't mean the top 8 in home runs will be picked. Instead of getting 5 or 10 outs, now the players will be on the clock. Each batter has 5 minutes to hit as many home runs as he can. The time starts with the release of the first pitch. In the last minute, however, the timer will stop on a home run and not start again until the batter swings and doesn't hit a home run.
Eh.
I like the Home Run Derby. I was fine with how it was.
Sort of goes on and on and on.
Now, like the night they played.
A lot of Berman, too. A lot of Berman.
The night they played back. The night they played it in Milwaukee. You remember that? Sammy, McGuire.
Yeah.
Those guys were hitting balls where Bernie Brewer is sliding down. I mean, it out of the stadium, some of them. It was insane to watch.
It could be fun to watch. I just think it goes on a long time. They need to maybe shorten it.
But it was fun.
It can be fun. I'm sorry. Texters are really funny.
Who are you, me today?
Yeah, I'm distracted by the text machine. Last thing for me.
Mike says, that's impossible. Thanks, Mike.
So did you see on Saturday night, Kaner ends up going to
the Jimmy Buffett
concert,
yeah.
Takes the at the first Midwest Bank Amphitheater in mm-hmm. Tinley Park. Great place to watch a concert, by the way. Mm-hmm. Kaner shows up at the Stanley Cup, takes a couple pictures with Jimmy Buffett. This has become sort of a thing. And then I saw someone tweeted out Kaner later, karaoke Kaner. So it looks like
with the cup?
I think the cup might have been involved.
I was wondering if the cup was going to make it to Lady Gaga, but it didn't happen.
No, he went to Jimmy Buffett instead. Right. I mean, Jimmy Buffett has more of a tradition than Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga could have, you never know with a Lady Gaga what's going to happen to the cup. She get outrageous on Saturday night?
Well, she wore some outrageous clothes. Like she had this long, no meat.
No meat. Any cheese?
She had this long see-through dress on with just stars over her you-know-whats.
You're such a 13-year-old.
But it was cool.
Okay.
I liked it.
You want to take any calls? You got another item.
Tony Bennett is so good, too, at 88.
All class.
Silky
88?
Smooth. I think he's 88.
Wow.
He was amazing.
It's amazing. He's still performing, entertaining.
Phenomenal.
And sounds as good as he does at 88.
Phenomenal. All right, according to reports, LeBron James has indeed bypassed his $21.5 million player option with the Cavs, becomes an unrestricted free agent July 1. The move, which was expected, marks the third time in the past 6 years he'll be an unrestricted free agent. He and James are very the Cavs and James, very engaged in discussions about the roster, sources told ESPN, and that he will help procure the players that they want.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you would want your coach involved in shaping your roster.
Your coach GM.
Yes. I mean, he definitely would be involved. Probably daily conversations with Griff. Did you see he met with Kevin Love? But it was only supposed to be like they were just hanging out in L.A. They met at a poolside somewhere, but they were just discussing, you know, normal stuff. Wasn't a free agent meeting. Come on.
Yeah, whatever.
If they weren't trying to talk about what they were going to do.
Dude, who else can we get in here?
Yeah, exactly. Now, do you assume that LeBron did this to take less money or more money? The assumption is more money, right? Pay me. You know,
signs a 1 year deal.
Well, that's the thing. Because he
can then opt out again.
Because the salary cap goes up, he signs a 1 year deal, keeps getting paid. He can sign five for $200 million next year. And while the 1 year deal, who else do they go get? Kevin Love and who else? Who's out there? D Wade? Does that put the Cavs over the top? They're already up there. Bulls didn't do anything to beat the Cavs.
So if you had a backcourt of Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade, and a front court of
Tristan Thompson,
James
Kevin Love,
Thompson, Love, and
Mozgov.
Timothy Mozgov.
And who else have they come back from injury?
Anderson Varejao.
Varejao with J.R. Smith coming off the bench.
Wow.
Good night, Bulls.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Oh, wait, hold on. I don't know if you heard. They have Bobby Portis.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, exactly.
As he's firing tweets about D. Rose a couple
A couple years
ago.
Leave it alone. We went by that Friday.
And who was the kid on the Lakers?
He was 16 years old. That's a different story.
Larry
Nance
Jr. Kid on the Lakers. Yeah, Larry
That's
Nance
a conversation.
Jr.
Kobe
accepted his apology.
Good for Kobe, because that's a different level of conversation, a different level of hate tweet. Bobby Portis was harmless.
It was. I agree.
So anyway, good to have you back.
We're out of here. Good to be back.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks, Mikey. Love you. See ya.
All right.